We're going to have a few reflections this morning of just some people who've had a cross-section of leadership with Phil and Jackie over the time that they have been our senior pastors. And so I'm going to invite Frank, who was an elder at the start of their ministry, Fern, who's been a major part of the Bridge and the ELC, Sue Burcham, who's had a major part with chaplaincy and playgroup and toddler jam, Anton, who's been an ever-present part of the executive, and Phil Heathcote, who is a current elder, to come and just share a few words of memories and stories in reflection of Phil and Jackie. So, Frank, if you'd like to kick us off, that'd be fantastic.
30 seconds. Am I on? I'm on. Morning, everybody. I was looking around at all the old faces. There's a lot of older faces, a lot of people I recognise from the past, and looking at Dave, a bit more grey hair there, Dave. But getting back to, there's a lot of people here that over the years have shared time together. You'll see through all those photos that we've gone through times. What didn't show up there was all the storm damage and all the ceilings coming down and all the rebuildings and everything that's gone on. But Phil and Jackie came at a time when we were rebuilding as a church, not as a building, but as a church. We'd been through a number of ministries and we needed some stability. And they provided stability. We had an open-ended ministry so that it would go as long as God would call it for. And it's gone on for, I want to say, 17 years. But they were here before that as well with the youth ministry and other things. So it's been over 20, 25 years. So it's been a long time. It's been a great time. And there are many young people. I use the word young carefully, many young people here that came up through that ministry and were touched by that ministry, and we trust continue to walk with the Lord. So we thank Phil and Jackie for what they have done, both in bringing young people into Christ in this church, but also bringing the church through difficult times, in all sorts of forms of difficult times, but carrying us through and providing us a basis as the eldership and representing the eldership that were first started with their ministry, of establishing groundwork, and Jackie's very good at that. So we got all the policies and everything up, but we've set up a groundwork that theoretically should be able to flow from one group. So it's not personality driven. It is driven by the church, the people, and the leadership they elect, and it goes from there. It's not related directly to a pastor at the front. It's related to the church, and we can go on and on and on with that basis. And that's one of the best, trying to think, legacies that's been left behind, that we have a groundwork that we can live in, live with, and grow in. And I thank you for that. Thank you very much.
Fern, do you want to come forward?
Good morning. Right, I would like to start by taking some of the credit for having Phil and Jackie as pastors of Como Baptist Church. So prior to their start, I was on executive, and Como had a pastor stay for a very short time who advised us unexpectedly that he would be leaving. The search was on. And lo and behold, Phil and Jackie came to our church one Sunday after not attending for a long time due to Jackie's position at Carey Baptist. In conversation, Jackie told me she was finishing up at Carey, and so the seed was planted in my mind and the push was on that this husband and wife team would come to Como as pastors. What a wonderful coup that was. 17 years of dedication, leadership and love for God and the families and community of Como Baptist Church. So the reason I'm here is to speak a little about their involvement in the Bridge organisation rather than how clever I was at seeing how wonderful Phil and Jackie would be as pastors at Como Baptist Church. So Jackie came to me one day and told me that the manager at Jump, which is a childcare centre run by Carey Baptist, had visited her and told her that nearby house could be renovated and used as a daycare centre, which would give purpose to an underused, tired building. There was such a shortage of daycare centres in the area, and we believed it would be a wonderful community service that would fit within our values. And after a lot of hard work, which Jackie drove, the Canning Bridge Early Learning Centre opened in January 2015. Both Phil and Jackie have been integral to the function of the centre over the past 10 years. Jackie, with her policy, procedure and compliance excellence, has worked incredibly hard to ensure that the board functioned exceptionally well, and her absence is very hard to fill. Jackie, in her love for the families, children and staff of the centre, set up the chaplain appointment. This appointment has been a blessing for both the staff and families of the centre over the years and has been heavily utilised. Phil has served on the board in his position as pastor, but Phil has served in so many ways that show a demonstrative love for the families and staff. For years, Phil has quietly worked in the centre, fixing and building all manner of items. He has sat with the children, been Father Christmas, and put his heart and soul into loving everyone. Phil's heart is so big and so full of love and passion, you can see he just wants us all to know Christ's love. Both Phil and Jackie have brought their very different gifts to the Bridge organisation. They are so different, but if you put them together, they are across all needs and areas. There have been difficult situations over the years, as you would expect with any business, but their knowledge and dedication has meant these situations have been able to be resolved, always with Christ's love at front of mind. Phil and Jackie, you have left big shoes to fill, but we recognise that us over 60s, well, nearly over 60s, need to retire and leave it to the very talented and younger generation to take the baton. I, for one, am looking forward to lots of bike rides and coffee catch-ups in 2026.
Thank you so much, Fern Sue.
Wow, it's so good to have you all here. It's been like a big reunion. It's so lovely already. I count it a privilege to contribute this morning as we recognise the immeasurable impact that Phil and Jackie have had, particularly in the development of the pastoral care ministry in the Early Learning Centre through providing chaplains since its commencement 10 years ago. Oh, sorry. Thanks, Phil. Chaplaincy sets us apart from other ELCs. To my knowledge, we were one of the first to do this. I was blessed to be the initial chaplain to the ELC family, staff and children for the first 5 years and have played a small part in the past 6 months as a volunteer chaplain again since Shelby moved to the role of executive officer. In 2015, I was busy but a bit restless as I came to a turning point in my 20 years in the aged care sector. Jackie had already proposed the idea of moving into the chaplaincy role at the ELC, but I wasn't really ready then. But later that year, we had a further discussion and we both knew it was God's timing. This initial 5 years, working with Kim Moore as the director, while sometimes challenging, established firm relationships and the concept of accessing chaplaincy services for both parents and staff, and it gradually became a normalised thing. From mid-2020, both Amy Lee Steele and our current Pastor Shelby have brought unique and specialised skills to the chaplaincy role that have been invaluable to particular families, as well as the myriad of other assistance and support provided to staff, including supporting the directors in the centre. The ELC remains a well-respected and loved place by current and past families. Whether they hold Christian beliefs or not, or no belief at all, they are all welcome and they have all accessed various aspects of chaplaincy. The ELC remains... Thank you, Jackie, and the initial board especially for conceiving the idea, implementing and supporting the role of a chaplain in the ELC. Another connection to the community during Phil and Jackie's time here over the last 17 years has included both playgroup and more recently Toddler Jam for mums and little preschoolers in the local area. I've had involvement with both these programs, where lifelong friendships have been forged. Amy Austin established the Toddler Jam initially and ran it until recently, and I've just helped out for the last few months. I'm thankful also for the consistent and willing volunteers of varying ages that have helped with these programs to provide a stable, safe and happy place for parents and grandparents to bring their little ones. And Jackie and Phil have always been supportive of that, of the development and continuing service of it, provided for church families and many people in the wider community. Some of our mums walk here, so that's the connection that we have in this immediate community. I just want to add a personal thing at the end. As I look around, I see a lot of, I was going to say young people, but they're probably almost middle-aged now, that came through Phil's ministry as a youth pastor. He was a youth pastor during the formative years of my two sons. Along with many other young people you see here, I see Sin and Nay and a dozen others that have all been involved in that period of time. During his leadership, some weeks we had up to 60 young people in that Nehemiah House building that's now used for the ELC. He ran a fun and sometimes eventful program, mentoring small groups and individuals. And one really treasured memory is of the mission trips up to Nookumbar in the Kimberleys in the early 2000s. That exposure to a remote Aboriginal community and the opportunity to bless and minister to them while also learning from them had a huge impact on each of the young people who went. Phil also baptised both my sons, you saw a picture of one up there, and several others of these young people that he had nurtured. He nurtured their faith and he had a long-time impact on their choice to follow and serve Jesus, for which, as a parent, I'm internally grateful. And I know I'm not alone in that. And the only reason my two sons aren't here today is because they're both serving in their various churches, and both Graham and I were so grateful for Phil's input into their lives. I thank you both for all that you've done, but also for who you are as people to us. You're pastors, teachers, nurturers, but also reliable friends and partners in service. And I just want to give you a small gift. I spent the last week or so getting little fingerprints from all the babies and children in the ELC that currently go there, just so that Phil and Jackie have a little memory of their input into that ministry.
Thank you. Thanks, Sue. Anton, yeah.
Thank you, Ben. Sue stole my thunder a little bit there. As so many faces that I remember have come through this place. It's great to see. When Ben asked me to give a little speech about Phil and Jackie today on behalf of the executive, I said to myself quietly, oh, great, what will I have to talk about? The other categories will have far more interesting stories, but I'm going to have to say that, you know, we went to many meetings, made a lot of decisions about stuff. But when quizzed further, he was cool with me sharing some other things, so here we go. The executive. So other than going to many meetings and making lots of decisions about stuff, the executive obviously acts as a functioning leadership of the church, with spiritual oversight from the elders. We've noticed over the years that Phil and Jackie have gradually moulded the relationships within the executive and have intentionally created a model which has clearly defined roles and responsibilities. This flattened leadership model allows for equity, transparency, accountability and servanthood at all levels. Not a bad way to lead a church, I reckon. One of my lasting memories of Jackie is how she has always tried to be creative with her messages. For me, I imagine speaking and bringing the word every week to church is a bit like cooking for the family at home. It's only fun if you don't have to do it every day. It's never fun. Cooking's okay. It is very clear that she's put an enormous amount of time and effort into these this aspect of her ministry. From dress-ups on stage, to untangling string, to flower arranging, drawing and painting, we've seen it all here at CBC. Excuse me. No doubt others have already mentioned Jackie's phenomenal gifts of management and organisation. It's clear that her hand and her vision is on many of these procedures and policies and compliance and structures that we have at CBC today, and we are better for it. I have witnessed this in practice, in fact, in many years on both the executive and at the ELC board. Now, this may surprise you, but I was a little intimidated by Jackie when we first met. When she was called and Phil and Jackie were called, even though I was involved in the calling process. But don't be fooled by her strong and no-nonsense exterior. She has an amazing heart for God and us here at CBC and for sharing the gospel. Phil, where do I start? So many. I've done it as a list of impressions. First impression. I'm not going to do impressions. This is my mental impression. This energetic guy running around a chaotic youth group, which grew so rapidly and organically that it felt like we were herding cats. Also impression, the teenagers were engaged, loved, supported and followed Christ. Phil, the fire pit loving Pied Piper of Como. Second impression, a laconic Aussie, a much smarter version of comedian Glenn Robbins' Outback Adventure character, Russell Coit. Phil, everyone's mate. Third impression, an old sea captain steering his ship through the fiercest storms, the waves crashing over the decks, when massive hailstorms came about a decade ago and collapsed this church roof. The call went out for help. Phil was there in the very teeth of the storm, lashing tarps over the roof to protect his church, being hit in the head by hailstones, railing against the wind and rain, an example to all. Phil, I missed a fix-it. Last impression. As with Jackie, it is very evident that Phil's desire has been to shepherd and protect his flock, to grow our awareness of the need for Christ in our lives and reach the hearts of those who do not have a personal relationship with him. It has been said, church is doing life together in all its ups and downs. One of Phil's favourite sayings is iron sharpening iron, meaning even if we have disagreements in our church family context, it is honing us, making us better versions of ourselves. Fair to say, Phil, we've had a few robust discussions over the years, and I think I'm sharp enough, mate. Phil and Jackie, thank you for your many years of service to us and to our God. Enjoy this new chapter of your lives. Well done, good and faithful servants.
I'm Phil. I'm on the eldership team. And like others, I look around and go, oh, there's lots of young people there, but they're not really young. And we'll get to the point fairly shortly where we won't remember their names or anything because we'll be too old. So there you go. Phil and Jackie, over the last 17 years, that's been a long time. And when we look into the future of the church, how do you transition from 17 years in the same place? It's really difficult. And we, as an eldership team, worked with Phil and Jackie and worked with Ben and Shelby as well. It probably took us a year, and Edna was heavily involved in that, and Christine, just to get our heads around, okay, what's this going to look like? It's not the normal sort of thing where, you know, if you're in a country church, the current people, they say, see you later, and the next week there's someone else there and all that sort of stuff. But this is a sort of a multiple streams of concurrent activity all happening at the same time. We have some people here that could be pretty good senior pastors if we went that way, and we have. We were going to lose these guys, you know. How does that work? Do they stick around? Do they disappear off into the sunset? But we came to a combined decision that they could come back and be members of this church community for as long as they wanted to be, and they didn't have to do anything. We don't expect them to stand up there. We don't expect Phil to be climbing up on ladders. But he can if he wants. Yeah, that's right. But he can if he wants. And during that time, we really gained a good understanding of being a pastor is not just walking up here, just working one day a week, standing up the front, doing some stuff, and maybe half-hour meeting and a couple of phone calls. Every time Phil walks in here, he looks at the ceiling and goes, oh, that leak, has that developed any further? Every time Jackie walks in here, she goes, oh, the working with children cards, have they been sorted out? Or the long-term strategic vision, did we update that? You know, it's not just walking in here and doing the stuff that we see. It's the layers and layers and layers of underpinning stuff that make all this work. So, and there's friends and relationships and all that type of thing as well. Phil will be looking around here at, you know, some of you younger guys going, awesome, so good to see you. Haven't seen you for years. And we've been here long enough to know as well how much influence and input Phil had into many people's lives, especially our next generation down. But everything draws to a close, whether our time on this earth or our time in a church or a time in a town or a time in a house or whatever it might be. Everything does draw to a close, and working out that transition can be tricky, and it certainly was for us as well as a church leadership community. So it was lots of prayer, lots of discussions, how's this thing going to work? And at the same time, there are other things happening in Phil and Jackie's life with family situations and work situations and all sorts of things that God was giving us little nudges and sometimes a punch here and there, going, okay, this is the way it's going to be. And we've come to this point in time now. And during that process, the grace and love shown by Phil and Jackie has been absolutely stupendous, absolutely fantastic. We all work together as a collaborative team with Ben and Shelby as well. We had a fairly good idea that probably they would be voted in as the next pastors, just a little bit of an inkling, and they've been with us for 3 years now. And so Jackie and Phil having mentored these two into that position as well has just been, we've been so blessed to be a part of that husband-wife team, go-getters, dynamic husband and wife team, and we've got another go-getter, dynamic husband and wife team. How fortunate, how blessed are we to have that in our little church. So we prayed hard, we talked hard, again, iron sharpens iron. There was lots of, no, we should do this or we should do that or whatever. And we came to this position and God has blessed this and here we stand. So we often refer to the little chapel in the back there, 1931 or 31. That's the first part of the Como story. Phil and Jackie have had the Como story for 17 years and look at it. It's fantastic. Ben and Shelby are taking it over now. But Phil and Jackie have put an indelible mark and imprint on the life of this church. So thank you so much.
I'd like my phone back. It's got my notes. Thanks. It's what I get. That's because I just put a new cover on it last night and it looks so pretty again. Cheap way of getting a new phone. I just wanted to share a couple of thoughts from me. I know I didn't put that on the run sheet and I know I said no surprises. Surprise. But this is from both me and Shelby, and the only reason she's not up here is because she's looking after the kids. And if you're ever wondering why it's only one of us up here at a time, that's why we both want to be able to release the other to be present on stage while the other one's with the kids. But 3.5 years ago, Shelby and I found ourselves realizing we were going to be finishing up at the church we were at. And the wonderful convoluted story that was, so we went and sat in Jackie's office at the Baptist Union, because she's the person you'd go see and say, hey, are there any positions available at churches around? But we had a twofold reason we wanted to see her. That was the first one. The other one was we knew of this Phil and Jackie, this mythical couple that did ministry together, and we wanted to be able to come and say, hey, how do we do that? What advice can you give? You guys have been going for 14 years at that point, and we would hope to get anywhere near that. could you guys give us some advice? And so we started talking with these guys, and they started sharing their story. We started sharing our story. And then Jackie got a glint in her eye and said, you know, there might be an opening coming at Como. One thing led to another, many conversations and prayers, and we realized actually this trajectory could actually be quite synergetic and moving forward. And they were amazing to be able to open themselves up to us, to share with us, how does that work? How can you maintain a marriage in that space? I don't know if you've ever experienced doing ministry, but to do that as a couple in the exact same space and not being able to get away from it because you go home and it's still right there, that is difficult. And these guys have showed us a way to be able to do that. And so we thank you. We have worked through this discipleship discipling apprenticeship model of we watch them for the first year, and then they invited us to stand with them and walk together for the second year. And then this last year, they've released us and encouraged us to step out and try our own things until eventually taking on the role ourselves. But throughout this time that we've been here and learning and getting to know Phil and Jackie and becoming friends with them, their love for this church and its people has been evident and on display just from the moment we met them, really. For example, Phil's heart for people is something you just cannot deny. Just one example, I can't capture this all in 1 minute, but one example, we're sitting having a meeting in the office one day, and this weird person just appears out the front, loitering around, and before I can say, oh, what are we going to do about that, Phil just grabs a cup of tea, walks out the front and goes, how are you going? Who are you? Let me get to know you. Invite you. Like, his heart for that person was instantly about how can I help them and meet them and maybe introduce them to Jesus in that moment. And I've seen that replayed with Phil over and over again, both with people that stand out the front and all you guys as well. I'm sure you've all experienced Phil coming alongside. How you going? Let me give you a cuppa. It's something that I've deeply appreciated about you, Phil. It just shows your heart. And Jackie, you've said many times to me that your passion is to equip the saints, to put things in place so that everyone can stand up and do their ministry and live their faith out into the best of their ability. And whether that's been through what people have said with the structures and the systems you put in place, or the way that you're able to draw out amazing illustrations from Scripture when you preach, it just inspires me to go, okay, there is a way that we can actually equip the saints to move forward. It's not just about a pastor standing up the front and preaching and hoping someone catches it. It's about getting people into the position where they can live that out well. And you guys demonstrate that so well. So I want to thank you guys for that. Whether it's been your leadership, your preaching, or journeying with people, you guys have been amazing pastors to us all, not just me and Shelby, but everyone here. And perhaps one quality has stood out, especially over the last year or so, and that is your guys' humility. Throughout the process of calling Shelby and I, not once have you guys stood up and go, well, we hope we're remembered, or we hope this... Like, it's all been about what is the best for what God wants. And we've appreciated that, and we've not tried to ego that at all. It's all been a beautiful thing that you guys have done. And so when these guys decided to step down and put forward Shelby and I to be the ones to take over, that has been an incredibly humble, selfless act that you guys have taken, and you have passed the baton on well, or the shovel. Some of that you've just demonstrated well. So we want to thank you for seeing something in us, for pastoring us and leading us well. We want to thank you for that. That's just a few of the ways Shelby and I have experienced Phil and Jackie. There's so many more, but I'm sure you and I have also been shaped. So many of us have been shaped by the leadership that they have had here for so long. Whether you've invested in people here personally or in the corporate way, we all have stories that we could share about Phil and Jackie. This whole church has been blessed by the way you have led, the way you have loved, and the way you've invested in people. The way that you've poured yourselves into this entire community with this same heart, this same humility, this same faithfulness. As a church, I think it's right that we honor you today. And so we want to thank you. And so we're going to give you a gift. I know you know what it is. You asked for it. But we wrapped it anyway. So if you guys would like to come up, we'd like to give you these gifts. And I wonder where Mike gets it from. If you guys want to come up, we're going to pray for you. So I'd like to invite Michael. Michael being a previous elder and Christine, a current elder. We just want to pray for Phil and Jackie as we release them from their responsibility and role of senior pastors and pray for them as they step into this new future and this new space. So I don't know if he wants to go first.
Let us pray. Father God, as a church, we stand together to pray for your blessing upon Phil and Jackie. We are so grateful for their willingness to be used by you to build this church and to touch so many lives over 17 years. We give thanks for their serving hearts, their guiding presence, and for their discernment of your word through times of difficulty and of joy, and for their encouragement of each of us here as we have grown in our own faith. By your Spirit, we pray that you will prosper their deeds so that their legacy may be long and lasting. As we release them from Como into a new season, we pray for rest and peace as well as joyful reflection. We ask that you will present them with new opportunities to live out their faith, using your gifts and giving you great pleasure. May they leave their pastoral role here, assured not only of your deep and boundless love for them, but also of the love and appreciation of all the people of this church.
Father, we just lift them up before you as wonderful servants that you have had a plan for from the very start, Lord. We thank you for their diligence and service here. We thank you for their loving heart, administratively, pastorally, and to each one of our families, Lord. You have just had your hand upon them throughout all things, and they have been willing to allow your Spirit to work through them in the easy and in the hard times, in the good and the bad things, Lord. They have walked following you as a shining example that we can walk alongside. We thank you for their service here, Lord. We thank you for who they are, what they've done, and what is to come. We thank you for the legacy that they have left behind, that we can continue to embrace and build upon in serving your kingdom here and into the future. We just lift them up before you, Lord, and thank you for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I hope to only be 15 minutes. We'll share back and forth. We know it's been a reasonable time already. We're grateful for the things that have been shared and for all of you coming from a different backgrounds, and hopefully we'll share to those that have not come to our link so we can catch up with those in due time. We believe that friendships that have been established here are going to continue and be lasting not only in this life but in eternity. Isn't that true? Yes, everyone? Yes. For the next season, Jackie and I will probably be moving back and forth between Perth and Binningup. We've got a little place down there. We're trying to put a bedroom and ensuite on and to care for Jackie's mum and dad. That's our primary interest at this point in time. Maybe surface around Easter next year and be involved wherever the Lord leads us, and to find out what our next season is, because we really don't know, apart from being a bit more focused grandparents. Maybe that's the call that we're blessed to have around us. We've been blessed to be serving here for so many years, and it's through your faith and the generosity, I might add, the generosity and the offerings that come that have enabled someone like myself to have an income for 17 years. So I urge you, be faithful to your local community. Give generously. For if you have received something from us, it's come because of those that have given faithfully to be able to do these things, as many people do. So be generous in this world, even to this little place, so that it can continue to do good things. We've had revelations of the Holy Spirit here. We've shared dreams together. We've experienced loss and discouragement. We've seen aspirations fulfilled and some lost. We've said goodbye to people in various stages of life, and that's been a joy and difficult. We've shared the grief of closure of some things and set some things up. There's been the joys of weddings, which we didn't get many photos today. I had a list of them hidden away, but I couldn't find them for today. We've had the privilege of dedications, of sitting with children and seeing families grow. We've had the joy of seeing people be baptized and to declare their love for Jesus in some way. And we've sat next to those in funerals and said goodbye to people that we love dearly. And that is an incredible honour, something that is a remarkable calling of being a pastor. Been visiting to hospitals, walked with the weary, listened to those who have grieved and are disappointed in me and us. fair enough, that those things happen. But we've enjoyed the excitement of seeing new life, not only spiritually but practically, and laughed together, and most of all, studying the Bible to give us clarity in this crazy world. We've sat in long planning meetings.
Sorry, dear.
Yes, needed to. Laboured over our governance and the church vision. Maintained the care of this place so that we can share fellowship and family together. And we've received, we've given, but we've received from you encouragement and blessing. One of the major things of a pastor is to make sure the word of God is spoken and lived out. And we want to do that today because that's what continues to give us direction. So over to Jackie.
Hi. Thank you, everyone, for your words earlier. Yes, 17 years since we came back as senior pastors after we'd been away for a few years in our training ground of Carey Baptist. There's actually lots of connections between Como and Carey over its life. I think we're Carey's grandparents. No, quite literally as a church. Church, we help plant Mount Pleasant. Mount Pleasant help plant Carey. And so we claim Carey as well as our grandchild. So that works. But coming back, as I think Fern said how wonderful she had been in that idea, which we may or may not thank her for later, but the part of that was also God speaking to a whole congregation, but also to Phil and I. And what has been interesting this morning, this isn't in my script, but this morning when we first were talking to Como and seeking God, Phil got one passage which affirmed for him, and I got one passage. Both were about building. For Phil, it was Isaiah 58 and restoring streets to dwell in, and that's been a big theme over the past 17 years anyway. And so that whole concept of restoring physical buildings, and if you saw this building in 2010, you realise how real that was. For me, it was Nehemiah, which, yes, was about rebuilding, but it was actually about rebuilding structures. And so it was very interesting to hear people's comments today reflect both of those fulfillments of those scriptures. So thank you for that. So they're little pieces that... it's never easy to sort of close a ministry, but or to feel like a ministry is closed, or I don't know, we've never had first time stepped away as senior pastors. But we were reflecting on this the other day, and I'll get to the message bit in a second.
Come on, we said 15.
No, it's fine. I've got five. We timed it. Was
I'm
only
on
10.
Script so yeah, far.
No, that's okay.
Believe it or not.
But I refuse to do scripts anymore. So,
right.
I let the spirit move. But we were reflecting on this last night, and you go, you know what? I've been in the union for a long time and have sat in Rabbit Vale, don't anymore, that finished up a couple of weeks ago. But I've seen churches transition. Well, really, churches struggle through years of desert experiences while they try and figure out places in between pastors. There is a drastic shortage out there. And one of the things that has really reassured Phil and I of the hope that we have that we're about to speak about is how God placed Ben and Shelby here. But please, Como, never underestimate the gift that this transition has been to the church with no conflict, to Ben and Shelby in honouring the gifts that they have, not that they were just an easy pick, that was not about that at all, and to Phil and I to be able to actually transition and hand over. That just doesn't happen every day. And so, Comet, just remember that that is God saying something. Listen for what he is saying in that. And that's the thing. So now I'll get to the script. Is that all right?
Time's up. Sorry.
Okay, no. So But it fits with the overall theme, because our overall theme for the year has been sustained, being sustained. And what's happened over this past year, which has been complex in some ways and hard for us all to journey through, we've done it and been sustained, and not only sustained in our relationships, but sustained in our faith corporately. And that's a really special thing. So it's a significant theme. But this term as a church, we have been focused particularly on a letter that Paul wrote, you might know him as St. Paul, or Paul wrote, to a group of people in a town called Colossae. It begins with C, so it works, Como. And it is a letter addressed, and it's with deep affection. And it is with deep affection, because many surprisingly view Paul, what was, as an intimidating character. Where's Anton? And, you know, we think of Paul in a particular way, but he has a very deep affection. And he addresses this letter, Colossians, which we've been going through for this term, with deep affection. He gives thanks to God. He calls them his holy, deep affection to God's holy people, faithful brothers and sisters, people for whom Paul always gave thanks to God for and hoped only for good things for them. Fruitful things. So this letter also ends on a deeply personal note. It's one of the few letters where Paul says, see, I'm actually writing this with my own hand. This is how much I love you. I'm actually writing this myself, because he had bad eyes and it was really difficult for him to write. And he writes about individual people. All sorts of names that are hard to pronounce, like Tychicus and Onesimus and Aristarchus and Mark, and that one's an easy one, and Epaphras and Luke, and those in nearby towns, Laodicea and Hierapolis. And in his last lines, he pens this, second last line. It's up on the slide, I think. Tell Archippus, we never hear of Archippus again, but tell Archippus, be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. Be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. And this is his second last comment before he signs off personally. And I can almost picture him saying, Timothy, Timothy, give me the paper. I want to write this bit. I can almost picture that desire in him to make sure he passes something on. And for Phil and I, this seemed like a very apt conclusion, because that's the affection with which we mutually hold for everyone here. And as we sign off in our own handwriting, so to speak, we give thanks with deep affection for this church, for this opportunity. We give thanks for individuals and the corporate community that is Como Baptist Church. And we want to encourage you, Como Baptist Church, not only as individuals, to be sure that you carry out the ministry that the Lord gave you. As a woman in ministry who has sought to faithfully carry out the ministry I was called to in this church and in this place, which has long been, Como Baptist, long been a community that encourages everyone to carry out that which they're called to. Mm. It's been a welcome home and a safe place. So I want to encourage you to continue to carry out that ministry the Lord gave you, male and female, young and old, rich and poor, working, schooling or retired, individually and corporately. Fulfill that vision and mission. The vision and mission, we did something unusual. We're Como, everything's unusual. You know, vision statement, mission statement, what's the difference? Well, we just smashed them together because it's something we want to be, a vision of the future, but it's also how we will get there, and that's the distinction between vision and mission. And it is to be, and you should be able to say it with me, we've gone over this that many times, is continue to be a loving community, inspiring people to say yes to Jesus and his way of life. Continue to love one another, not just when it's easy, but when you actually disagree and it's hard work, because love shouldn't disappear just over a difference. Continue to inspire one another, to spur one another on. This was actually about never giving up meeting together. You know, the spurs were actually, you know, like on cowboy boots. Yeah. I'm not suggesting you all go out, get cowboy boots and kick each other. But sometimes it does require a little prod, but a really generous, generous one that says, hey, are you okay? Are you okay with missing you? Take the time to make that call. Spur one another on. Keep on going into the world locally. You know, those murals sitting up there is a fantastic thing to see regularly, nationally and globally. And to keep on living the way of life that Jesus calls us to. Paul explores this way of life a little bit earlier in Colossians 4, verses 2 to 6. He says this, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about this mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why Paul says, I am here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Live wisely among those who are not yet believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. And in a world that is ready to be combative and assert their rights, from my perspective, that gracious conversation is really needed today. Back to you, hon.
Okay, just to finish with 6 minutes, I think I planned it. We want to continue our faith with you in some way, obviously different, but we want that to be an eternal hope, not just in this present. Eternity does await for us all. I'm convinced that Jesus is the key for all our world's issues. And I'm convinced that the local church, when it's running white, is the hope of the world. There's two little verses there that Paul says, I want to explain the mystery of Christ. So here's my attempt to give you how I understand the mystery of Christ in 5 minutes to finish. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's an exclusive claim above all people in the universe. He said, I am the way. That is the only pathway to God, the practical example to follow in life. He said, I am the truth. That is, his words are worthy of listening to and obeying in this crazy world. His words ring true even today. He said, I am the life. That means he indicated he was there at the beginning, at the formation of time. And guess where? We're heading to a time when he is the eternal one, bring all things into his being eventually when he returns. He said, I am the Logo. He was born supernaturally in Bethlehem. Spoke words of wisdom that was foretold in the Old Testament, was renowned for being compassionate and one who formed miracles. He made a way for souls like me and you, fallen sinners, to be cleansed from within. How? Because he received in his body the due punishment of error. He took it on our behalf on the cross. And God vindicated that and raised him from death to life, indicating that we have an eternal resurrection by faith in him. So now that is available to each of us, to any who simply say two things. We have missed out on being holy and righteous. Yep, that's me. And the second thing is, God, forgive me and help me to walk in this world. Two simple things. I heard a confronting statement recently. Jesus came to get the hell out of us. Sounds bit abrupt, but I thought about it. It's true. We've all got a bit of hell in us. Something happens in our internal being. Jesus came to remove that if we ask him. And only through him there is an opportunity of the Holy Spirit to be given by faith because we asked our holy God for forgiveness. And he's the only guarantee internally to enter into paradise and into heaven. That's the card, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Our good works are good. We need to do them in this world, but they're not what saves you. It is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit made fresh by forgiveness through Jesus who paid the price. Eternity awaits. So, my friends, my last Jesus message, where are you going to spend eternity? I hope it's with him. The Bible states in Isaiah, the Old Testament, that pointed forward to Jesus, that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've all gone our own way, but the Lord has laid on a guy, Jesus, that was coming, the iniquity or the faults of us all. Thank goodness. No one is righteous, never, only him. What a merciful God that even in spite of all our rebellion, he said, I'm sending someone for you. Praise be to God, because we have experienced that new life by faith. I think that's a Peter quote. Heaven is our destiny and love is our currency. Mm. Now, I think that's my quote because it came to me last night, but it might be written somewhere, okay? Heaven is our destiny and love is our currency in everything we do. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever would believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. New life now and an eternal life to come. So I do sincerely pray, both Jackie and I do, that each of you, my dear family and friends, those that have come and gone, those that I've met in different places, will align yourself with that gift of eternal life. Global events are pointing in the direction that the Old Testament and New Testament foretold. And one day that nation of Israel will realize and turn to the one who is their Savior and put down their arms. And when Christ returns, I believe peace will reign upon the earth. That is coming. This is not a faith just locked in the past of some history. The Bible speaks to today. It is a true reality of what is about to come when Christ returns. So if we never cross paths again, I wish you the very best of life and hope and faith. But it's my hope that we keep connected in the present in some small way, but hopefully embrace each of you in heaven, eternally, with joy and opportunity when Christ returns in new, resurrected, not 60-year-old bodies, eh? Whatever your bodies are. I'm going to invite the team to come back, and we're going to sing one more song that we wanted to. Thank you. Ben has just led us so well today, and the team's worship and your voices has lifted my spirit so much today. I'm going to finish with a few verses from the Apostle Peter, or St. Peter. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you are really among those that God has called and elect. Being faithful is a hard effort. It doesn't come easy. There's a whole lot of things that'll drag you left, right and centre. Then, if you do these things, to work hard at being faithful to him, you won't fall away. Then God will give you the grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Love yous all. Let's sing and give praise, okay? Thank you, guys.